We thank our brothers for their music ministry and for the powerful message. Order my steps in your word. We're happy to see Sister Carlene Phillips here. Amen. We thank God for answered prayers, and we continue to lift you in prayer. And good to see all of you. You know, this holiday week sort of throws your rhythm off. So it's a short week of preparation, and then your time is interrupted by visitors and food and football. So I spent all day on Thursday when we weren't entertaining watching the three football games. And then yesterday, watching, and Friday, watching football games. And I watched Southern and Grambling in the Bayou Classic, Brother Jones. And one of the guys caught the ball, and the defender was trying to stop him, and he leaped in the air with his foot toward him. I said, "Well, that's a move. That's a move." And then, of course, now we have to pull ourselves together from all of that to preach the word. So your rhythm is off. So pray for me. Let's read this passage from Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 23, New International Version. And the text says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." The word of the Lord. This message is entitled "A Prayer for the Church." We thank God for our blessings during this season. One of the blessings is the blessing of the church. And we all need prayer. And the need for prayer didn't arrive on the wings of the conflict in the Middle East. The need for prayer is as ancient as human existence. We all need prayer. Not just when things are difficult. We need prayer all the time. And it's good to know that somebody is praying for us. It's good to pray for people, for family, friends, foes, and others. But institutions also need prayer. Our government needs prayer. The school system needs prayer. The police department needs prayer. They put their lives on the line, come to our homes only to be gunned down. They need prayer. Not only do people need prayer, and not only do institutions need prayer, but the church needs prayer. Local churches like Ebenezer need prayer, or the universal church, which encompasses all believers, all congregations everywhere. So when you pray, don't just pray for your church, your minister. Pray for the church everywhere and for those who serve the church. Because believers need prayer and the body of Christ needs prayer. We cannot look at the news without at some point saying, wow, oh my God, because of the events that are occurring, the things that are happening, prayer is needed. And that's the focus of this scripture passage, a prayer for the church. The writer shares this prayer with the church at Ephesus. And the prayer has three parts to it. One part is thanksgiving. The second part is intercession. And the third part is a doxology. And I think that in this season, thanks that this message is important for us. As we all have petitions and intercessions to share in prayer, but this prayer is powerful. And it begins with thanksgiving for the church. He says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." The writer has heard about the reputation of the church, and the church's work of love has spread all over. And he says, "I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you." There are a lot of things that bring attention to congregations. Church, it's to a church, it's music, it's preaching, it's ministry, it's architecture, it's historic past, it's age, and even some infamous things. But the writer says, "I thank God for two things. I thank God for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you've got a reputation for trusting in God. That your faith has become renowned." And I thank God for your love for all the saints. That you are known for your love for the people of God. And in order for the church to have that reputation, a reputation of faith, a reputation of love, somebody had to witness it. Somebody had to see love in action. And so this congregation is known for two things, faith in Christ and love for the saints. That they were committed to Christ and that they were committed to each other. And so the writer says, I don't stop thanking God for you. As a church, you have a good track record. That's a good thing to say about a church, isn't it? That the people at that church have faith in God. And that the people at that church love one another. We all know that that's more important than anything else. But we share together on Wednesdays in prayer meeting our testimonies, our prayer requests, our needs, how we call each other, how we serve each other, how we support each other. All that's love, isn't it? All that's a part of the church. And we thank God for it. You ought to thank God for Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. And thank God for the members here. And for their love and their support. The writer says, not only am I thanking God for you, but I have some specific intercessions for you. He says, I'm praying for you, a prayer for the church. And he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. I thought this was interesting that he thanks God for this church that demonstrates faith and that demonstrates love. But then his prayer for the church is very specific. You might think that a church that demonstrates faith and demonstrates love doesn't need anything else. But the writer says, no, I pray specific prayers. I pray that God would give you wisdom and revelation. And I pray that your understanding might be enlightened. In other words, he prays that God would expand the church's spiritual knowledge and understanding. She has a good foundation. But she can be better. And the assumption is, no matter how much we know about God, we don't know all there is to know. We can always grow. We can always build upon what we have. And the writer says, I'm praying that you will know Christ better. I'm praying that you will know the hope that you have in Christ. That you will know God's great power exerted in Christ. And so he prays for understanding, for wisdom, for enlightenment. He wants the church to know God's divine will. And it's like light bulbs. They have different wattage. You got 60-watt bulbs. You got 75-watt bulbs, 150-watt bulbs, and you got all kinds of light bulbs. But the writer is saying, you've got some spiritual wattage, but I want it to be stronger. You've got a relationship with God, but I want it to be deeper. And so I want you to know God better. Know Christ better. Why? Because then you can become more like Christ and do more of his will. And he says, I want you to know the hope to which you have been called. And why? Why? Because we have a hope that is beyond this world. I like that part, beloved, because I tell you, I'm glad there's a truce in the Middle East. It's not the first truce. This cycle has repeated itself more than once. But it's a terrible situation. It's a tragic situation for Palestinians and Israelis and that whole region. But if we do not have hope in Jesus Christ, what we see and what we read can throw us off schedule and throw us off kilter. And the writer says, I want you to know the hope you have in Jesus that pulls us toward the future that God has outlined. The future is in God's hands. Not in the Middle East, not in the leaders in the Middle East. The future is in God's hands. And that's why the writer says we look for a city whose builder and maker is God. We are pressing toward that future. And so he says, I'm praying for you to know that hope that you have in Jesus. And he says, I'm praying that you will know God's great power that he exerted in Christ, that the church is grounded in God's power. I like that. He says, you're doing fine. You're demonstrating faith. You're demonstrating love. But I'm praying for you to go deeper in wisdom and revelation. I'm praying for you to go deeper in your hope in God. I'm praying for you to know the power that God has demonstrated already in Jesus Christ. And so then he ends with this powerful doxology at the end of this prayer. And what is a doxology? It is a hymn of praise and adoration to God. But this doxology is about Jesus. And the writer prays and says, in effect, now let me tell you about the Jesus you serve. He says, I want you to know about God's power at work in Christ and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. He says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's a powerful doxology because it talks about the resurrection of Christ. It talks about the ascension of Christ. And third, it talks about the exaltation of Christ. What words? He says, I want you to know the power that God exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, God used divine energy in Christ when he raised him from the dead. There's power in his resurrection. And not only did God raise him, God also seated him on his right hand, that he has been exalted to the highest place. I want you to know about his ascension and his exaltation. And I'm glad that he ends with this doxology because he says, I want you to know that God has placed Christ in a position that is far above all rule and authority, that is far above all powers and dominions, and above every title that can be given. Hallelujah. Not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Says, I want to leave this prayer with hope rooted in who God is in Jesus Christ. And so he says, in effect, what rule and authority, power and dominion exists today? He says he's above all that. And you might say, well, Pastor, that doesn't mean anything. What is the point of all that? We've got governments today. U.S. government, governments around the world. We've got other sovereign nations around the world. We've got presidents and prime ministers and kings and queens, and we've got all kinds of faiths and religious deities out there. And what the writer is saying, call their names. And when you call their names, Jesus is above all of that. Call their names. King Charles, call their names, Queen Sophia, call their names, Prince and Princess, Duke and Earl and Lord and Count and Baron, call their names, whatever name they got, he's got a name that is above that name. He has placed Christ above all that we call deities. What deity are you calling on? Call on Buddha. Call on Vishnu and Krishna and Zoroaster. Call on Confucius and Allah. Call their names. And he has placed Christ's name above every name and every title imaginable in this life. We could live 1,000 centuries and never reach the place where God has put Christ. And that's why he says, this doxology is the source of hope. He says, I want you to know the power of the God who has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. So that means the United Kingdom is under his feet. The United States is under his feet. The Middle East is under his feet. Russia is under his feet. He's put all things under his feet. And so the writer prays for wisdom, understanding to know him better and to know his great power. Because without that power and without that understanding and without that enlightenment, we come up with a Christ that is too small. We got these little pocket-sized Christ. The Christ that we take off and put them in our jacket pockets, or put them in our pocketbooks to carry that Christ around. Well, that Christ won't carry you in the midnight hour. That Christ won't stop by the hospital and heal your body. That Christ won't protect you on I-35. You need a Christ that is bigger than anything. All dominions, all powers are under his feet. Then you don't worry. You don't worry about what folks say. You don't worry about what folks do. You don't worry about what they do in the Middle East. You don't worry about what they're doing in Ukraine, because you know the God of Jesus Christ is in charge of this world, and nothing can happen to you without his permission. So that is his prayer for the church. That's my prayer for you. Because of your faithfulness, because of your love, that you would go deeper in your understanding and your wisdom, and that you would know the power that God has exerted in Jesus Christ. I'm done, but I was just talking to somebody recently. I'm done, but I just want to say this. They're struggling and dealing with things in their life. And sometimes you think the ones in your life are the ones who are going to help you and support you and be there. And in the conversation, I just discovered what I thought was going to happen. Didn't happen. So, but God has a way, beloved. When you feel as if you're all by yourself, and when you don't see where your help is coming from, God's got a way. And not only does he have a way, he's got somebody. And not only does he have somebody, he has some blessing. And God will take care of you. That's the hope we have in Jesus. He'll take care of you. And he'll walk with you. And he'll go with you every step of the way. A prayer for the church invitation. Is extended as our ministers, deacons, and greeters come. All these ancient institutions are crumbling. What we once knew, what we once thought, is no longer there. Even the honor and integrity these institutions purported is not there. But there is integrity in Jesus. There is honesty in Jesus. And there is in Jesus someone you can trust. Will you stand with me as we extend the invitation? If you're viewing us, you can go to belonging@ebc3austin.org. John Hall passed this week, and I've talked to his daughter, and arrangements are pending, so I don't know when exactly the service will be held, but it will be held here at Ebenezer. So be in prayer for his family, and be in prayer for the church as we prepare for that service. You will get the information. Also, we're having our church council meeting on Tuesday via Zoom, so leaders, please join and participate with that. And please, if you've not turned in your reports, your annual reports and calendar dates, please get that to the church office as quickly as possible. God bless you till we meet again.